of the Bible. We're working for possession, which is the state of owning and controlling something. We have to own the spiritual works. The children of Israel was given by God land flowing with milk and honey. God himself gave them the land, and he told them to go in and possess it. Surely we've heard this story of the 12 spies, 10 of them, and they returned and they brought back an evil report. Joshua and Caleb brought back a good report. They told Moses and the people of Israel. Now listen to what they told them. They told Moses and the people of Israel that they were well able to go in and take this land, and they wanted to go right then. They said, let us go up at once, you know.
All right, family. You have been listening to the Spiritual Warfare Broadcast with Evangelist Wonder Bear. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wonder Bear. Or you can write us at Evangelist Wonder Bear or Spiritual Warfare Ministries at P.O. Box 5884.
But when we put it all together, this is what we like to call you,
Jesus. Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1. As we go deeper in the Word of God.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, chapter 55 and verse 2. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 2, recorded are these words.
That's all right.
Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord for just a little while, a lesson in how to spend your money. A lesson in how to spend your money. We are in what some are calling economically depressed times. People are losing jobs. Money is scarce. Bills are high. Things are tight. And people are of the opinion that things would be better if they had more money. Solomon, one of the wisest men said, or whoever lived, said, money answereth all things. But the question becomes, how does it answer all things? Somebody has said that we all have a price. The only difference is what is the greatness or the least in our bidding or our negotiating. Whatever those things may say and whatever they may speak to, God has a word to say to the believer, and literally it's a powerful word. And it's talking about the lack of good priorities, really. And it's talking about one of the things that we see as a hallmark in our day-to-day. People have placed money above God. They placed money above morals. They place money above those things that are truly essential in life. And money is good in its place. I have a personal philosophy. I've shared it before. I'll share it again. Money isn't good for anything but to be spent. That's my philosophy. It don't smell good. And if you've tried to taste it, it don't taste good. I mean, it's nothing about it other than its ability to spend, and the different denomination offers many different things that you are able to achieve and accomplish with it. But outside of those things, money is not good for anything but to be spent. But here is the point. How do you spend it is what makes the difference. It's not how much money you have, it's how well you spend what you do have.
Come on now.
Because there are people who make a little bit and do well on the little bit.
Hallelujah.
There are folk who make a whole lot and still have to rob Peter to pay Paul, still have to get payday loans. People who are making more money than our forefathers and grandfathers and all have ever made in their lifetime and have done less with. You've got people making major money and still have not made major investments. Live ride in cars that cost more than houses and live in apartments. Now, I'm not trying to be funny. I'm trying to say, let's check our priorities right. Because what you miss is he who controls the land controls the neighborhood and the community. And so when you own land, you can make some determinations. You can make some investments that are worthwhile. Let me say this to you. Land, they ain't making no more of it. You don't get that new car you love, just keep living, baby. They're going to make a newer one that you love even more than the one that you did get. Make some sacrifices. You didn't get that new designer dress, that new hat, all the rest of them clothes now. Just keep living. Next month, next few months, when the season go out, they're going to be trying to give away half price. If you're wise enough, smart enough, you get some stuff when it's at its lowest point. I got news for you. Hold on to it long enough. It's coming back again. Why do you have to be the trend follower? Why you can't be the trendsetter? And so when you look at how, listen, wise folk, you might not be able to. Let me tell you what wise folk do. Just even as it relates to clothing. If you know you can't buy $300 and $400 suits, but you have a gift to be able to sew, you can get a pattern, get a better material, and sew that same pattern of the suit or the outfit that they've got for probably less than a fourth of what they paid for it. And listen, nobody will be the wiser. You've got gifts and abilities where you don't have to go and use money for that. You can use the gift that God has given to you. And so while you have to spend less on doing stuff you can do yourself, it's as if you're paying yourself to be wise. But there are a whole lot of points I'd like to share with you. But let me get back to the text and just share with you what the word of the Lord is saying. First of all, when we look at this text and we understand that we are not to be caught up on money, but to recognize its value in our system, in our lives, in this world. Don't fool yourself. You do need money in this world to buy the things of this world, to do what is necessary in this world. Don't care how spiritual you are. It takes money to survive in this world. It's a part of it. Jesus himself utilized money in his ministry, and he did it, again, to show the fact that even though you are spiritual, even though you are saved, you still have to use money in this world system. But being wise about it is beneficial for you. First of all, it talks again about the lack of good priorities as it relates to how we handle money. If it is not important, we honor it. If, you know, things in this world, if it's not important, we honor, we put it on the top shelf. If it is important, we act like it's not important. We turn away from it. We don't yield to it. The result of poor priorities have placed many of us, especially believers, in places we ought not be, has made us servant to money and those who hold the money. And listen and say this, when you have money, there's a lot of things you don't have to bow and submit and surrender to. There are some things that you just don't have to surrender yourself to, submit yourself to. There are some things you don't have to put up with when you got a little money. If you don't believe it, just get broke and just don't have none. And watch how you have to go to folk you would not want to go to ask of help, to ask of support, to ask of this and to ask of that. It's a different world that you live in when you are moneyless. So I want us to deal with this and look at this, because God wants to change our position from being poor to being prosperous, from being broke to being better, from being able to have and then have enough to do what God needs us to do for his kingdom. And so when we look at this word, let's go back to verse 1. I just want to read verse 1 through verse 5. It says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price." Can I tell you, he's not talking about today. This is a future tense and time that he's speaking about. But notice again, let's move to verse 3. It says, "Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live." Notice the word soul. Now it's taking it to a spiritual arena. All right, keep this in mind. Your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Verse 4 says, "Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people." Verse 5 says, "Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee." Now, this is a future tense historically talking about Israel, but also inclusive of that is the people of God of our time of faith. And so that's pragmatically talking about Christians, believers, people of God, how God is going to change our position in this world and how God is going to give us favor and give us substance, so much so that truly folk will look to us, to the saved, to the sanctified, to the spiritual people of God for the needs of this world. See, back in the Old Testament times, some of the richest people who ever lived were godly people. They had riches in abundance, and they were able to bless many people because of their position. And how many times, honestly, and I just want you to be real today, how many times have you earnestly and honestly desired to help some people but didn't have the money to do it? Whether it's been family, folk, friends, or people that you've come in contact with, or people that you just had a burden for, a situation, may have looked on television and seen some catastrophe, some great natural disaster, and you really want to be a blessing, but you checked your checkbook. You checked your wallet and you checked your income, and you recognized that you didn't have sufficient to share with others, not like you would have desired. Well, God is saying he's going to, in the future, position the people of God. Why? Because they get their lives aligned with God and practice the principles of his word, God is going to bring the riches of this world into their control, and they are going to be able to do what God has designed for us to do in every situation where he desires us to be a blessing. My question to you is, why do you want to be rich? Why do you really want to be wealthy? Is it just so that you can get everything you want and everything you need? Let's be honest. Most of us, the first thing and the first reason we want to get rich or become wealthy is so we can get some stuff we ain't got. Well, now you see, you ain't got to lie to me. You sitting there, Lord know your heart. He know you would trade that car in tomorrow. He know you move out of that neighborhood. He know you go buy some new rags and all of that. All of that would be all about you first. before you ever say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Or Lord, here's a tithe before I spend a penny of this money. Before I give an offering, I want to give you what belongs to you, the tithe. Before I bless anybody, I want to bless your work. I want to do for you what I've longed to do in my... What is really your desire for being rich and being wealthy? And see, when it brings God glory, God has no problem with bringing you those goods. And it has to begin right where you are with right that which you possess and with a mind and heart and spirit to do it right here. Let's look at the text because there's some three things I want to share with you about this word. Now notice what he says, because he starts off in verse 2 saying, wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread? The first thing he deals with is dealing with loss. Loss. Because when he talks about bread here, referring to the basic essentials of life, the things that you really need in life, how oftentimes, brothers and sisters, regardless of where your pay scale is, how many times when we look back on our spending record, have we spent our money, the majority of it, on things that are not basic essentials to life?
That's right.
See, you might have to buy clothes, but they ain't all got to be name brand.
Amen.
You know, there are things that you do have to get, but you don't have to get them outside of your ability to buy them. And so when you don't have the ability to buy them, then you stretch yourself, put them on credit, and then pay for something that's usually worn out or no longer used before you even get through paying for it. I'm learning not to put anything on credit that won't be worthwhile anything when I'm through paying for it. Because I want to be able to enjoy it long after I paid for it. See, that's what make folk, you know, mess up and not pay their bills. When the stuff go out and go bad and way out and you still paying on, you look like, I ain't paying this money. I'm going to do this. This thing broke anyhow. No. You want to be able to be wise in the selection, and we lose by buying, investing, and spending money on things that aren't worth what we spend on, that do not benefit us as long as we pay on it. Look again, I want you to see this, because God is trying to draw your attention to what the enemy has been doing. Listen, you don't need a raise, you need a right mindset in how you spend what you have. Let me ask you a question. How many of you could live a lot better if you didn't get a raise but didn't have a bill? If you could just live and didn't have to pay a bill off of what you make now, how many of your living would try to change? Amen. What I'm trying to tell you, check your spending habits. Because it's not necessarily a raise you need, because here's what you need to know. Every time, historically, you've gotten a raise, you've raised your spending. Instead of saying, listen, I ain't been getting this extra $100 a month. I've not been getting this extra $50 a month. Now that I've gotten a raise and I've been making it on the rest, let me take this extra $50, give God his tithe off it, and put the rest of this in the bank. In a sock, in a shoebox, somewhere, tuck it away. Under my mat, wherever, let me just hold on to it a little while longer. But no, the moment we get a raise, hey, they got a sale. Can I tell you, there's always a sale. There's always gonna be a sale. There's never not a time that's not a sale. You got money, it's for sale. It may not always be an advertised sale, but if you've got money, you can negotiate. So many of us don't know how to go in and buy stuff just because they got a price don't mean that you can't say, listen, can you take, I've seen this here for a while, can't you take something off of this?
Yeah, yeah.
They'd rather reduce one garment than reduce a whole store full.
Amen.
But when you don't know better, you can't do better. And so just because you see it on the price tag don't mean it's the price you really have to pay. Because if somebody else has it, all you got to do is be a little wise. Do a little shopping. I don't like the window shop. That's why you spend too much, foolish person. I don't like to look in the newspaper.
You got to tell somebody, listen, you know, I'm here and I see this on sale, but I saw that so-and-so had it for sale for 10% cheaper than that in the newspaper this morning. But if you don't want to do it, it is worth me going down there. Well, no, wait a minute. Let me talk to my manager. You'd be surprised what you can do. But we lose, look again, because we buy for that is not essential. Bread represents the needs that we have, and if we learn how to put them first, then we would enjoy more in life, and we'd be surprised at how we can enjoy life better with less when we put our priority and our focus where it ought to be. I'm learning, my brothers and sisters, that if you don't have enough to enjoy, don't front. For what? You look good, and you starving, and you stretching, and you borrowing, and you going to the gas station and putting $3-4 in, can't fill your tank up in a car that you can hardly pay the car note on, trying to keep up with it. For what? Why? Who are you impressing? What is your gain for impressing folk? Listen. You get there when you get there. But if you buy into the world's philosophy, I'm gonna fake it till I make it, you're gonna be faking it far longer than you need to fake it. Because once you learn how to be correct in the spending, and I'm getting to the point because one of the reasons I firmly believe that even believers would give more, but they have unwisely spent their more on stuff that just don't matter. They would give more to the kingdom of God. They'd give more in their offerings. They'd give more to the work of the Lord. But they honestly don't have it because they have spent it the wrong way. Look again. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread? It's talking about loss. The problem is not the lack of wealth, but the lack of wisdom in spending the wealth. Some of us would have a better income experience and live within the confines of our income if we learned how to spend correctly. I don't care how well off you are, it just makes good sense to manage your money. Amen. To be a wise steward over your money. To be able to understand that you have got to be wise so that God can give you more to do more with. That's where God wants his people. God wants to change your position. God wants to change you from being in a place where you're always broke and without and begging, or in that place where you're lacking and slacking. God wants you to have abundance. So in order for you to cut your losses, you're going to have to look at your spending. But second thing he wants you to do is listen. Somebody say listen.
Listen.
Here's why he says that. He says, hearken diligently unto me and eat that which is good. Listen now. He says, hearken. That means listen. 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 The exhortation says to listen diligently to God and as a result, learn some good priority principles. Some priority principles. Learn how to find out what works, plan your work, work your plan. You got to go grocery shopping. Make your list.
Come on now.
How many times in my life have I gone into Walmart for one thing? Wind up spending a couple $100. Discipline yourself. Go in there. Get what you need to get. Come on out. How many times? I don't do this now as much. But I've learned, again, and I know you, this is one of the old rules of shopping, you don't ever go to the grocery store hungry. How many of our cabinets are filled with junk? Snacks, quick food, stuff that's not nutritious, not healthy, not life-giving, just junk. Go through your cabinet, see how much stuff. And then most of it goes bad because you bought more junk than stuff that's necessary. And you realize that your stomach made the decision, not your head. And so on and on and on. Apply these principles. I've said it before. Go in, get some coupons. Go to, what is it, coupon.bug or bug.couponbug. Get you some coupons. God, listen, has shown me. I've been observing this. I mean, you see women with big old diamond rings, Rolex watches, all the rest of that, got a little Ziploc bag. With a hand, wait a minute, I got a coupon with it. I'm looking for another line, because that sister going, white. Now, I said sister, but I don't mean us, because we too proud to do that. She going to stand there and go through them coupons, because she know what she got in there to find that coupon for that item. Then they look for the double manufacturers. Lord, I wish I was helping somebody here. Man. Get your stuff together before you go. Listen at this. Wouldn't it be better? Wouldn't it be better, just because you are wiser, to be able to save $5, $10, $20 off of your bill a week or whenever it is you go, because you have taken some coupons, because you have seen where the sales are, where you have planned yourself properly? Be wise. And so here's the word saying, hearken diligently. Don't blow me off. Don't listen lightly. Don't think this is just a joke or it sounds cute. Hear these principles. Listen at me, because they will help you to become wealthier. It will help you to become richer. It'll help you to become wiser. Listen at this again. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good. Do you realize sometimes that you pay less for qualitative things than you do for cheap things?
Hello. Amen. That's the truth, Pastor.
I'm glad I got one witness. See, you know, be wise. There is a 20-ounce Coke for 99 cents. And a liter of Coke for $1.29. You say, well, that's more money than I want to spend. But listen at this. You've got four times more, or somewhere thereabout, for just 29 more cents. You can drink a lot longer. Here's something else that'll blow your mind. They put less stuff in different packaging and charge more. A six-pack of 10-ounce Coke costs more than a six-pack of 12-ounce Coke. But the can looks cute. I ain't drinking the can. I ain't lining up my house with cans. So when I'm through with what's in the can, it's going in the can. So what do I care? Walk in wisdom, people.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry. partner with this ministry and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday.